Straight Talk on WRHI is presented by Founders Federal Credit Union. Relax, you're with Founders. Now here's Manning Kimmel broadcasting live from Substation 2 on Cherry Road in Rock Hill with Straight Talk, selected by the South Carolina Broadcasters Association as the state's top public affairs program.
And a good afternoon. Welcome into Substation 2, Cherry Road across from Winthrop, for a special edition of our Straight Talk program presented by Founders Federal Credit Union. Relax, you're with Founders. Our thanks to our co-sponsor today, Comporium, your friendly neighborhood tech giant. Piedmont Medical Center is with us today, a community built on care. Find out more online at PiedmontMedicalCenter.com. And as we said, a special edition because we're going to be going a full hour today. First half of our program, the Fort Mill School Superintendent, Dr. Chuck Epps, is with us. And then at the top of the hour, we're going to be joined by Mark Nasaka, the CEO of Piedmont Medical Center, and DHEC Commissioner Rick Lee, who lives here in Rock Hill. And we're going to be talking about the community-wide effort to get a vaccination center underway here in Rock Hill in York County. So with all that said, Dr. Epps, how are you today?
I'm fine, Mr. Kimmel, the Honorable Mr. Kimmel.
11 years at the helm of the Fort Mill school system.
Right.
Did you ever imagine that you would be the superintendent during the middle of a pandemic?
Well, no, I didn't. I was telling our principals today this is probably the biggest challenge any of us have had in education, in our careers. It's as you know, we've reinvented the wheel, so to speak, and they've done a Herculean job in doing that. Didn't dream it.
Well, let's talk about reinventing the wheel. We've gone from, golly, I can't even follow all this, because we go from in-person learning to virtual learning, back and forth and back and forth, and it's all based on whatever the numbers are that are out there and what you're experiencing yourself within your own school system. So maybe you can bring me up to speed as far as the Fort Mill school system. Have you all made a decision yet to go back?
Okay, let me tell you where we are. In the fall, well, we started out in August. We were in different models, but by September 27th, we went 5 days with the elementary and middle and AB or hybrid with the, excuse me, with the elementary and AB and hybrid with the middle and high school, the AB day. So we've been in that mode the whole time. Now, we said earlier we would make a decision hopefully to go to 5 days at the start of second semester, which is January 26th for us. We have now changed that to where we're going to do reviews every 2 weeks prior to making a decision. In other words, if we change our model, that gives parents and teachers 2 weeks to prepare, and that's daycare situations and those things. So right now we have delayed the start of 5 day for the first 2 weeks of the semester. Now, we will reconvene in another week and make the call for the next 2 weeks after that. So I think most of the York County districts are delaying the start. We're remaining in our hybrid AB and the 5 day for elementary. When I say delay the start, I mean delay the start to 5 days for everybody.
For everybody. So when you leave a 2 week window before you implement whatever your decision is, a lot can happen in 2 weeks with this virus.
Yeah, now we do say that. That's our goal. We may have to vary and do something different. I mean, for example, if the numbers accelerated greatly, we may have to go virtual in the middle of that, you know, across the district, just like we did. We did have to go virtual the 2 days prior to Christmas break, because of the because we were having trouble with staff at schools. We had one whole administrative staff sick, and you know, so that was a challenge the 2 days prior to Christmas.
So you have really two things you have to look at in terms of not only what's happening with the student body, but what's happening with your own staffing.
Right. There's two angles on it: the virus numbers within the students, and then the virus numbers within the staff. So you can't operate a school if you have a whole wing of teachers out, for example.
Have you gotten to the point during all of this since last March where you ran into a situation where you just didn't have enough staff to run a particular school's curriculum?
We did. We had one school in particular that we shut down or made virtual the whole last week prior to the Christmas break because of staff that I mentioned earlier, because all the administrators were out were sick or were in quarantine. We had another situation where three grade levels had so many teachers out that we went virtual for a week. So it's happened. Currently, as I speak today, we've got some classes that are virtual within the schools. So we're trying to be precise about it instead of shutting down a whole school or the whole district where there's one problem. You know, we've got 20 schools. So it may be not a problem at TUK Elementary. It may be a problem at Fort Mill Elementary. So instead of shutting down everything, we're trying to be strategic.
So how have you had to reorganize your administrative staff to handle all this? I mean, every day it's, is this school going to be in person? Is this school going to be virtual? Do we have enough teachers?
Well, we've actually hired we've repurposed some folks' job description. Let me word it that way. That's what we've done. Since we weren't renting facilities, for example, because of the not allowing outsiders to come into our schools, we took that position, that person, and made her the COVID czar, so to speak. And she works with two or three others at the district level to assist with contact. Now, the contact tracing part, that's where the real work comes in, where a school has their reports, and then the nurses and the school staff have to contact trace within that classroom to see how many people need to be quarantined, et cetera. So, but we have a command center, so to speak, at the district level. So really, if we had not been able to convert the positions, we would have just had to hire staff. It's such a huge task with 17,000 students that you can't just leave it on the nurses at the schools or the principals. It's just it's a huge chore.
You have roughly how many teachers, people who are in the classroom?
Well, we've got that would probably be about 1,500. We've got 2,400 total staff.
So let's say you have 1,500 teachers.
Call it 15.
1,500. And any one given day, somebody's got to look at who's going to be there, who's
right.
Who's not
going
to. My.
Yeah,
well, that's a job.
Now it's kind of like an inclement weather call where something like that could happen overnight that you just described as far as availability, and we would be calling it virtual.
And then, there's the issue of transporting the kids because you can't load the bus up with its capabilities of whatever that is, 50 kids per bus.
Yeah, we've been fine there. I think it's 50%. I think she went to 65%, Molly Spearman, but we've been able to operate at not above 50%. Most of our parents drive them to school to help us out in most situations. So we've been okay on the bus side. That's been a real struggle for a lot of districts, however, but we've been okay there. Now we have started, just so you'll know, we started a testing center Monday of this week, and we're holding that at the football stadium at Catawba Ridge, and where all symptomatic students and staff can drive through from 9 to 12 and be tested. And so that'll help us expedite getting some kids back or putting kids on quarantine. So that's just an aside that we started this week.
And meanwhile, back at the ranch, there's this thing called education.
Yeah, right.
Is there any way to measure yet how the students are faring with this flip-flop all the time?
I don't know if you saw the EOC, Education Oversight Committee, report earlier this week, but they've got what they've called, and this is across the state and I'm sure across the country, what they've coined as the COVID slide on the academic side. And, in fact, we're looking at those numbers and we're going to report and have that discussion with our board next week. But across the state, I think it was, I may be off on my percentages, it may have been 20% have declined on the mathematics measures, and this is across the board, grades 3 through 8, and maybe another 15% on the language arts. So it's an obvious decline in a student achievement, and that's from last March to where we are right before Christmas. We'll report to the board our situation, but in general there's been a decline in where they would have been. You hear, I don't know if you've read about those folks that are survivors of they were children during World War II, where their countries had to not, you know, they shut down their schools in Europe for the war effort, and
sure.
you know, they were didn't have a real school for 2 years, and you know, so I know it's a serious issue, but I have faith that our teachers and our students will be able to make it up over time.
I don't think there's any doubt about that, particularly once they're able to take off that mask, get back in the classroom and intermingle with their fellow students, and a sense that normalcy is returning. I think you're absolutely right.
Yeah, I don't think we're losing a generation, as some people say.
No, I don't think so either. But we got to get through all this.
We do. We do.
You know, immunization and what have you. Okay, so life goes on, right? I mean, golly, day. What else can you say?
Get up every day, one foot in front of the other, right?
Well, let me ask you also one of the things that you have. You and I have talked about for the last couple of years is kind of the status report of where you are with this whole business of the impact fees.
Mm-hmm.
I think everybody knows that with overwhelming, and I do mean overwhelming support from the Fort Mill community, as was demonstrated by that special council meeting over at the McKelvey Center mm-hmm. over in York, the council approved a rather substantial increase in the impact fees from $2,500 to like $18,000.
18 and 12 or so on the
departments. Yeah. And then that was immediately challenged by the State Real Estate Association.
Home Builders Association.
And the Home Builders Association. You've been through how many levels of court now?
We've been through two at least, and three yesterday when it was heard before the Supreme Court. But we prevailed so far going into yesterday at the Supreme Court level.
So the hearing yesterday was not in person, I know that.
Right, it was virtual. We could, our side presented our testimony, the home builders presented theirs. The Supreme Court justices had questions, and then it took about, 45 minutes or so. So we watched the whole thing online.
And could you glean anything from the questions that the justices had?
Well, obviously, if you watched it, I guess it's according to which side you were on. We felt good about the arguments made by our legal counsel, felt good about the questions, but I would not begin to assume how they're going to rule. As I said, I think we did all we could do, and hopefully we'll prevail for the same reasons we prevailed in the lower courts.
Meanwhile, the town of Fort Mill has been collecting mm-hmm. all of the impact fee revenue and putting it in escrow.
I think the county collects.
I'm sorry. County has been collecting.
The town of Fort Mill has a fee, but it's separate than ours.
Right. That's come up to a pretty sizable amount.
Yes, in fact, it's at $35 million and some change as of last week. So we're anxiously waiting to take that money and provide tax relief to our businesses and our constituents.
So if you are successful at the state Supreme Court level and you get access to that money, how exactly will you achieve that relief? How are you going to do that?
Well, as you probably heard me say before, we've got a lot of capital debt because we built so many schools in the last 15, 20-year period. We're going to take it and immediately apply it to debt. So as a taxpayer, you would see it as a reduction on your tax. You wouldn't pay as high taxes going forward. We've layered the debt in such a way that over time, over a 20-year period, it'll help you each year in the form of tax relief.
What kind of timetable do you expect to get a decision from the state Supreme Court?
Well, you know, they're in COVID protocol, all the courts system, Supreme Court, which is why we were virtual yesterday. We've been told to expect 6 to 8 months as far as hearing anything.
God, 6 to 8 months.
Well, and it could be sooner, but that's, I guess, worst case scenario.
But meanwhile, the argument that was initially advanced, that this will kill the home building construction and there won't be anything, that hasn't materialized at all. If anything, it's been the opposite.
No, we've continued to build homes in Fort Mill. They've opened the Spratt property now. That development's underway. Elizabeth We're continuing to see growth within the schools. We've not seen that at all.
Wow. But what do they say? The population of Fort Mill's almost doubled, up 50% here in the last whatever number of years?
I know the school population has doubled in 10 years. It's probably consistent with the general population.
So even during this wacky pandemic period, we still have all this home construction. Where does that leave you as far as looking at more building construction? Are you looking at that?
Well,
I asked the wrong question.
we've got several things. It's a fast-growing district with a hefty agenda, an aggressive agenda. We've got several things going on. We really need to resolve the impact fee litigation before we do anything. But if you look at the numbers going forward, and we've not backed off this, if the numbers continue, we look at our building program in five-year increments. Eventually, if the numbers continue and the growth continues at the rate that we've seen, and that's important at that rate, we're eventually going to need another referendum. So I'm thinking we will begin those discussions with the school board here in the next several months about timeline, but we're not near it right now, that's for certain. We really need to get past the impact fee decision first.
Wow, amazing. In fact, I can remember during the real boom years in Fort Mill, you were basically having to build a brand new school every year because your growth was at least 1,000 students a year.
That's right.
And I think I'm correct on this. This year, the Fort Mill School District eclipsed the Rock Hill School District in terms of total numbers of students?
We were going back and forth there in August. We'd be two ahead of them one day. They'd be two ahead of us. I don't know where it stands right now. We didn't come in with as many as we projected because we have a certain number of parents who chose the state virtual program and a certain number of homeschools. So if those kids had been in school like they normally would have been, we would have shot on way past the number that we're sitting on. But we're right shy of 17,000 right now.
And roughly what percentage of your students have opted to go ahead and do the virtual?
We had an average of 30% now. We've already, we're inquiring about going forward with that program. We're inquiring parents about what they would do. We're anticipating, and based on survey results, I think it's not going to be that high going forward, the virtual program that we'll have in Fort Mill. So that was, but as a result of the pandemic, we were, I think it was 33% at the high school, 27 at the, you know, it was 30% of our kids.
And surely that will impact what decisions you have to make in the future about new buildings.
Exactly. I mean, if the virtual academies were robust in numbers, let's just say, all right, we had 5,000 kids this year in the virtual academy. Let's say we have 1,000 next year. Well, that's a lot of classrooms you don't have to build. You know, so I think what you're going to see, Manning, is this year will be a drop off in the number assuming the shots or the vaccines go like we think they'll go, and we start beating this thing. Then really the trick's going to be the third year, the next year, I believe, as to how that's going to settle in with parents about how many people really and truly are going to be virtual kids every year.
Right. All right, with that, we're going to take our mid-program break. Remind you that you are listening to Straight Talk live from Substation 2, Cherry Road across from Winthrop, presented by Founders Federal Credit Union. Relax, you're with Founders. Our thanks to our co-sponsor today, Comporium, your friendly neighborhood tech giant. And, of course, Good Pharmacy is with us today, your hometown pharmacy, Ebenezer Road to Camden Avenue in Rock Hill. And just in time to tell everybody what's good, what we do here at Substation 2, we prepare fresh subs and salads 7 days a week right before your eyes. The magical way we do it, we're going to sing it out together. Don't care who you are, just let it go. 1, 2, 3. Slice, slice, slice. Garden, garden, garden. Back after these words.
If it's 12:30, it's Straight Talk on WRHI.
This is Charlie Ruffalo. I want to personally thank everyone for supporting Substation 2 during this pandemic. This has not been an easy time for many of us, but you keep coming back day after day for our fresh subs and salads, and that has helped us keep the doors open and our employees on the payroll. Thank you, thank you, thank you, Rock Hill and York County, for supporting Substation 2 these past 34 years, and especially now. Substation 2 really loves you. Cherry Road across from Winthrop.
Want it? Buy it with a credit card from Founders Federal Credit Union. With low rates, no annual fee, and various card options, you can't go wrong. And keeping up with your card activity has never been easier. Simply open Founders online or the Founders app. Visit foundersfcu.com/visa for more information and to apply for a Founders credit card today. Not a Founders member? Visit relaxjoinfounders.com to see if you qualify for membership. Terms and conditions apply. Founders Federal Credit Union is federally insured by NCUA.
This is Danny Rogers with Paul Davis Restoration and Remodeling. If your home or business is damaged by water, fire, storm, or mold, Paul Davis is here to help. We are staffed with over 35 trained and certified professionals to handle any type of property damage. Our team mission is to provide extraordinary care while serving our neighbors in their time of need. Whether you need repairs in one room or rebuild a whole home, Paul Davis is here to help. Find us online at pauldavisrockhill.com.
This is Dr. Karen Jenkins, Emergency Room Director at Piedmont Medical Center. When someone is experiencing a life-threatening emergency, such as a stroke or a heart attack, every second counts. Piedmont Medical Center's emergency departments in Rock Hill and on Gold Hill Road in Fort Mill are open 24/7 to treat life's unexpected emergencies. Even in the middle of a pandemic, our commitment to providing safe, high-quality emergency medical care in our community remains strong. Piedmont Medical Center, a community built on care.
These days, everybody wants peace of mind. Some people do yoga. Some meditate. Me? I use Ready Home Security from Comporium. Ready Home lets me monitor my house, even when I'm hundreds of miles away. With Ready Home, I can use my phone or tablet to set my alarm, turn on lights, lock the doors, even control my thermostat. Yoga's great, but knowing that everything's great at home, now that's peace of mind. That's Ready Home. To learn more about Ready Home, visit Comporium.com or call 888-403-2667.
There are very few genuine money managers in America, and one just happens to be your neighbor. If you have $100,000 or more, call the professionals at Anderson Griggs Investments and see what a money manager can do for you. Anderson Griggs, 324-5044, or go online to AndersonGriggs.com.
Hey Manning, I hear the gyros are back at Substation 2.
That's right, Alex, and they are great. They're made to order, served hot, on warm, soft pita bread with creamy tzatziki sauce, onion, and tomato. And I can't wait to get one!
Substation 2, Cherry Road across from Winthrop.
Straight Talk continues now on WRHI. Brought to you by Founders Federal Credit Union. Relax, you're with Founders.
And back we are here at Substation 2, Cherry Road across from Winthrop. Dr. Chuck Epps is with us. He is the superintendent of the Fort Mill School District. And as we said, we're going to have a special edition of Straight Talk here at 1 o'clock. We're going to flip the tables and we're going to bring on Mark Masaka, the CEO of Piedmont Medical Center, and Rick Lee from Rock Hill, who is one of the commissioners of DHEC, and talk about this conversation involving the creation of a community-wide vaccination center. On Tuesday, there were a whole bunch of us, close to 50 people, who assembled on very short notice, which I thought was really saying a lot for the community to come together after just getting a weekend invitation to talk about this whole concept. And you happened to be there as well as your peers from the Rock Hill and Clover and York school districts. It was a very interesting gathering. It just love that synergy when the community in Rock Hill and York County and Fort Mill come together to say, you know, we can figure out how to do this.
Yeah, it was a real show of just that, I think, Manning, how you get a bunch of people together and get a lot of creative thinkers in the room, and you just talk through really a community and national emergency is the way it was deemed, and I agree with that, or certainly a sense of urgency to do something. As we've talked before, the feds have done a great job of developing the vaccine, and the states and the localities need to figure out how to get it in folks' arms.
And this conversation, it's going on everywhere in the country. Everywhere in the country. We were talking off air, you know, I got this in before I left. Up in the suburb to the north, what's it called, Charlotte?
Yeah,
they've got a big they've got some major players up there. Honeywell, Atrium Health, and Tepper Sports and Entertainment have all come together, and they're going to be doing some massive clinics at the Bank of America Stadium and at the Charlotte Motor Speedway, which I think is just wonderful.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, that's the kind of stuff you need to have happen to get this out. And as was pointed out in that meeting on Tuesday, we have got as a community to get ahead of this thing and get people vaccinated because we have to get to this herd immunity concept, which is what, whatever, 70% of the population vaccinated to kill the spread.
Well, I'm encouraged. I mean, like you said, there's a lot of primary players together. Of course, the challenge now is amount of supply. We know that's going to increase, where we can expedite some of these proposed clinics and maybe have more than just one or two, have several like North Carolina's doing. So I think going forward, we're gonna all hear positive news and be encouraged. It's just we got to start somewhere.
Got to start somewhere. All right. So I know you huddled with your peers as the meeting was closing. Kelly Cox, you know, from York, or Sheila Quinn from Clover, and Bill Cook from Rocky Hill.
Yeah, don't forget Bill.
What did you guys? What were you throwing around as far as ideas?
We proposed, and I'm not sure it's going to be approved by DHEC. But there's something called the Charleston Plan, where the Charleston School District is using four high school sites in an effort to get their staff vaccinated. So we floated that by the powers that be. The whole emphasis the other on Tuesday was to wait to get the clinic up and running and get everybody over the 1A, you know, which is 75 and above. And so that's probably not going to change. And we'll participate in that, where there's 4 or 5 days a week of a clinic in Rock Hill, if that's the way this thing pans out. We did propose, however, to expedite the teachers getting and staff getting vaccinated, in hopes of since they're on the front line and they're seeing kids every day, would assist us in getting the schools more back to normal at a faster pace if we could get. But I understand that would be putting teachers in front of folks who are 75, and we know from the numbers, the stats, that if you're above, if you're an elderly person, your chances of having issues are a lot higher than if you're not.
Yeah, about double, twice as much. But to your point, I think it would be a great sense of relief to the teachers, the ones that are there, to get this inoculation as quickly as they could, so they could breathe a little bit easier.
That's right. That's right.
And feel more comfortable about getting back into a classroom setting.
That's right. It would be a peace of mind issue, if nothing else. And you know, the predictions are that we'll have the same. You know, there's a train of thought out there that not everybody, not 70% are going to want the shot. So we got to deal with all that. You can't mandate the shot. So we're hoping we'll hit a higher bar than that.
And based on the numbers that I have been seeing, that percentage of people who say, not me, I'm not going to be first, that's dwindling.
That's
the more
good.
The people are
glad
getting shots
that.
Because there haven't really been anything serious repercussions. I mean, it's just like getting a flu shot.
That's right.
You may feel a little, get a headache or something like that, but it's nothing major.
That's
Dr. Epps, thank you very much for being here. Thanks for all you do for the community, and keep us posted. We'll be very interested to see how that Supreme Court case turns out.
Yeah, keep rooting for us.
All right, and that's going to wrap up this section of our Straight Talk program. We'll be back after the news at the top of the hour to continue a special edition with Mark Misaka from the CEO of Piedmont Medical Center, and DHEC Commissioner Rick Lee here from Rock Hill. Straight Talk program presented by Founders Federal Credit Union. Relax, you're with Founders. And by Comporium, your friendly neighborhood tech giant. Fresh subs and salads prepared right before your eyes 7 days a week. The magical way we do it, we're going to bellow it out real loud one more time. 1, 2, 3. Slice, slice, slice. Yard, yard, yard. Have a wonderful day. We'll see you in just a few minutes for our special edition of Straight Talk.